Welcome to Women Got Game, where we uncover untold stories of extraordinary women in sports across Northwest Ohio and beyond. I'm Sophia Fisher, and we're going to celebrate the evolution of female athletes, coaches, and sports enthusiasts. Let's dive into a world often overlooked in the broader sports narrative. Ready to explore? Let's play. On today's episode of Women Got Game, we're talking with Allison Howard, the Executive Vice President and Chief Commercial Officer for Rock Entertainment Group and the Cleveland Cavaliers, where she oversees corporate and ticket sales revenue and strategy, corporate partnerships, membership sales and service, venue experience, ticket operations, and youth sports programming. She'll remain in this role until the end of the 2025-26 NBA season, while initiating and activating the franchise's business operations for the new Cleveland WNBA. Allison's career has spanned some of the biggest names in sports, from the Los Angeles Lakers to the Kansas City Current of the NWSL. And now she's helping lead the charge in Cleveland as the city prepares to welcome a brand new WNBA team. All right. Hey, Allison, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us on Women Got Game.
Thank you. I could not be happier to be talking with you about everything we've got going on here at Rock Entertainment Group and Rocket Arena in Cleveland, Ohio.
Sounds like you're a little busy, I think. A lot of excitement.
It is. Yeah, we have opening night for our AHL team, Cleveland Monsters. And then our opening night for Cleveland Cavaliers is coming up right away in November. We have opening night for our Cleveland Charge, our G League team. And then, you know, on top of all the 3PE events that we have, third-party events happening at Rocket Arena. And then our newest team, the WNBA in Cleveland, that we are hard at work on as well.
Yeah, I'm super, super hyped up about that. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm an NIL agent also, and I represent quite a few female basketball players and other athletes as well, and mainly in the mid-majors. But, you know, we're in Northwest Ohio here, so we're in Toledo. We're not that far from you. I've been on the turnpike a lot to come to your wonderful facilities and arenas for NC2A playoffs, and you guys just do a great job. You're a great host. So excited they picked you for a WNBA location.
You know, what's funny is the Women's March Madness was a huge selling point for the WNBA to award us the 16th expansion team. So I am glad that you have felt that. We still continue to hear from our fans of how special and important and eye-opening that was for them to be able to come to those competitions right here at Rocket Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. So those are the things that we love to do. We love to showcase amazing players. We love to showcase Cleveland. We love to showcase Rocket Arena. So it was a trifecta for a win.
Well, leading in then to my next question, before we get into the goods about the WNBA, I do want to back up, because a lot about Women Got Game is we love highlighting amazing women. And I think you're one of those amazing women in sports. And I want to ask you a few questions for our audience that's listening that really wants to know, boy, you really climbed the ladder in this career being a female, male-dominated industry. Can you back up and tell me about your life? Did you play sports as a child? Did you always want to be in the business of sport? But give us a little bit of your background.
So I am Gen X. So I am I've benefited greatly from Title IX. And one of my most favorite stories to tell is I was 6 years old. I was born in Minnesota, and there was only a boys' t-ball team. I wanted to play t-ball. That was my sport. I loved playing, you know, quote-unquote softball with my dad in the backyard, and I loved it. And so we go to sign up, and they said, oh, sorry, we just have a boys' team. And my parents said, well, what the heck does that mean? And they said, well, I mean, if you want, you could get, here's a petition. And if you go around and get a bunch of signatures so that your daughter could play with all boys, you know, go for it. And kind of laughed at us, right?
Yeah.
And my dad turned to me and he said, okay, you up for this? And I said, heck yes. And went and got all the signatures that I needed so that I could play on the boys' T-ball team. And that was a really, really important lesson for me. And when you hear a no, or when somebody kind of scoffs at you, you find a new way if it is something that you believe in with your whole heart. And I believed with that, like my whole heart. Oh. And it was a really valuable lesson. And also, obviously, just having my parent support. And, you know, sports should be for everybody, hands down, should be for everybody. But that's where I got my love of sports. I played very competitively throughout high school, not into college. I did not know that I wanted to work in sports as my profession. In fact, I did a career change 20 years ago this month. And I got my early start at a sports marketing agency called Premier Partnership, where I was employee number 5. Randy Bernstein and Alan Rothenberg, which are two kings in the sports world. Randy took me under his wing. And I worked for him for 7 years and doing all big deal, naming rights and founding partnerships. That's where I really learned that niche, high level, elevated selling to do huge multi-million dollar deals. And I really enjoyed that until I had 2 babies back to back and living in Los Angeles and traveling all over the country was not going to be a recipe for success for me to have a successful marriage and be a successful mother. And so thankfully, I had networked very well and made really good connections at the highest level within the NBA and Major League Soccer. And I was on my second maternity leave, December of 2011. And the executive at the NBA reached out to me and said, hey, Los Angeles Lakers have an opening for a sales role. Are you interested? And I said, well, of course I am. And I go in, I meet Tim Harris, who is the president of business operations there. And I swear, within 2 minutes of meeting me, he said, Allison, I know you're a mom and I will make this job work for you. And that, I worked for Tim for over a decade and he never let me down when it came to that. He always allowed me to really put family first. Yeah. And I am forever grateful to him.
It sounds like you've had, very impressive career. I mean, you're just tracing your journey right there. You have many defining moments, many lessons that shaped your leadership style. Would you agree?
100%. And, you know, by the way, not all have been positive. And I think that's a really valuable lesson to share with anybody. You know, if you are working for somebody that isn't great, or you're in a toxic environment, or you're not getting the leadership that you need, or you're not getting the recognition you believe, it is incumbent upon you to regain your power and do what you can.
Yeah, that's really great advice. I really love that, especially, again, in a traditionally male-dominated industry. I think it's changing now. Obviously, there's been so many milestones and so much trajectory, especially with women's basketball. But I guess I'm curious to ask you then, you helped launch one of the most successful new franchises in women's sports at the Kansas City Current. And what did that experience, teach you about starting something from scratch and then inspiring a community to try to rally behind it?
I learned a lot at Kansas City Current, probably more just in the span of those 2 years than my decade at the Lakers, quite frankly. Lakers, obviously, very well celebrated, very well. I mean, at the top, at least 5 brand, not just sports brand, but just brand in the world. And I go to Kansas City, and this is May of 2022. I'm wearing Kansas City Current logo on every piece of clothing that I own, and nobody in the city of Kansas City even knows what this is. Like, I am having to do a full introduction as I meet people in hotel lobbies, or I'm sitting on panels. And so it was a huge lesson in marketing and also being just everywhere and consistently telling that message. And then also getting, you know, there was only 20 people that was at The Current when I started, and many of them, this was their first job in sport.
Wow.
So to lead a bunch of people, ask them to work insane hours and build this plane while we're mid-air, took a tremendous amount of dedication, time, every resource that I possibly had. I was just in Kansas City this week speaking on a panel for Women Leaders in Sport. And I look back and I look at The Current and CPKC Stadium, and just, it's amazing. You know, it's a project I will forever be grateful for, and one that I certainly will be very prideful of all of the literal blood, sweat, and tears that went into that entire project.
Well, you must have read my mind, because I mean, I'm a soccer player. That's what I played in college. But the NWSL for soccer and for women's sports, I mean, how has that changed, do you think, in the last couple of years, and where do you see it going?
Great question. In fact, I was just speaking with somebody at another new NWSL team, and because I want to help them. I want to make sure that they're successful and avoid some mistakes that I made, you know, and just make sure that they understand some things to avoid, you know, little potholes to watch out for, to make sure that the ride is a bit smoother. I said May 2022, nobody in Kansas City even knew what the logo was, right?
Right.
You fast forward, and Cam Levin was our general manager at the time, and she is brilliant. She's now with the San Diego Wave and just doing incredible things. But Cammy put together an awesome team that year, and that coupled with the marketing team that I was working with over that summer. And then by September, October, I you know, people would stop me when they would see me wearing anything with The Current logo on it, be like, oh my gosh, you work for the team. What do you do? Oh my gosh, everything that you guys are doing here. And I can't wait for the stadium to open. I can't believe this development. You know, the training center looks amazing. When are you going to get the turf fields? I mean, like, people just knew the level of detail. And so it did change very, very quickly. But as I even look back into 2022 and these past 3.5 years have been, women's sports is on a total hockey stick trajectory in every, I mean, the PWHL,
100%,
right? So not only the NWSL, but, and, you know, the WNBA, but PWHL, and what's going on with women's lacrosse, what's going on in colleges across the country of women's flag football. I mean, that was another conversation. I mean, it's everywhere in the best way possible. And that was not something I would have thought in May of 2022, that's where we would be come October 2025.
That's really cool. So really looking at your career now. So obviously you're in an NBA family with the Cavaliers and in Cleveland, and things are going great. And now we have to just get to, you know, our original, what we wanted to talk about, which is this WNBA team officially coming to Cleveland and that momentum for women's basketball. What does this moment mean for the city of Cleveland, and what makes Cleveland ready to embrace it?
This city is special. This city is very special. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I've only been here, you know, less than a year and a half. You had 3,000 initial payments or deposits in the first 30 hours of having our announcement that the WNBA is returning back to Cleveland. 3,000 initial payments like that.
Oh,
now it's 7,000. And it's been
wow.
And our merchandise has sold out at least a dozen times in these 3 months. right? I mean, we were going to try to be cute and drop new merch at the 28th of every month until we listened to the fan base who had said, no. We needed a lot more than that. We need youth. We want more luxurious item. We want different sweatshirts than just, you know, W-Klee. We house all of that merchandise in-house. We do all of that in-house. This is the benefit of having over 500 Pulse Energy members within the REG network. So it is us keeping up with the demand of what this city wants, what this fan base wants. You know, we are tracking much like the Valkyries and a lot of our other WNBA team members, that these fans of the W are not the fans of the Cavs, the Monsters, the Charge, or maybe haven't even been to Rocket Arena for a concert or a Canadian show or Disney on Ice or Monster Truck Show or any of the, you know, other number of events that we host here. This is a new audience for us. And that just gives us another great opportunity to tell them about everything that we stand for, right? The almost $27 million that we have put back into the community, that we are what we call a for more than profit organization. That means every single dollar that comes in goes back into the player, goes back into the fan experience, or goes back into the community. And that is quite frankly unheard of in sports. And so it gives us an opportunity to educate more Clevelanders that may not, again, have been quote unquote sports fans of the Cavs, the Monsters, or the Charge yet, but they're passionate women sports fans. And so now it gives us an opportunity to have a microphone in front of a whole new audience to make sure that they know that they will always be safe and welcome at Rocket Arena.
Oh, I love it. I mean, just everything from, you know, the money being infused and back into the community, and also, you know, pay is pay to play now. And obviously we've all seen the shirts and paying us what we're worth for the WNBA and the outreach there, and understanding, you know, it needs to be equitable salaries and so many other cool things. But I love that you're really focusing on the fans and that you jumped right into it. I love hearing the support of all the deposits that you've had in advance. And I guess let's ask a few more questions then about that. How do you plan to keep that energy and that anticipation alive before tip-off happens 2 years from now?
It's a really good question, actually, because let's be real. We have, I mean, now I've kind of lost count. I think we're at in the 31-month mark before we actually start bouncing a basketball here at Rocket Arena for the W Cleveland name.
Gotcha, because it's a 2028 season, right? 2028, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, 2028. Yep. And so what do we have going on? Well, we had a press conference back on September 16th where I committed to do a 28 unique girls and basketball programmings. And that's just through June 30th of 2026. So that's going to all happen in less than a year. And that is not just camps and clinics, because last year we impacted almost 70,000 youth across the state of Ohio, as well as Buffalo and Pittsburgh. We are going to elevate that to 85,000 in this next 25-26 calendar year. And that unique programming is going to be also educating parents. How can we get more parents, especially moms, to be comfortable coaching their girl basketball team? And how can we get more parents or youth educated on what it really takes to be a referee at any level? How can we get more parents comfortable with maybe a basketball 101 class so they feel a little bit more connected to their kid on talking about plays, on talking about practice, on talking about drills they can maybe do at home? Like, we really are pouring into this. So that's that. And then if you're around, and especially since you're in Toledo, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to see my face and shake my hand a lot. I have an appearance where I'm going to talk to 2,500 people about the W. And so we can go from that to having 100 people at a preseason event for the Cavs who want to learn more about me as the president, about Kamzyn, our SVP of Corporate Partnerships and Strategy, about KG, who's our VP of Ticketing and Sales, and the 7 other team members that we plan to hire by the end of this year. So by December 30th, we'll have a dedicated staff of 10 people just focused on the W. And so we want to be out at all of these different events, particularly around Northeast Ohio, so that people can really have an understanding of who I am, what my background is, how passionate I am about this, and where our vision is.
Well, that's all super exciting and super hype. And, you know, even for us here in Toledo, you're not that far away. So I think you're going to, we have a lot of mid-major teams here, like University of Toledo, Bowling Green State University, et cetera. And they get good crowds. And I think you're going to get a lot of draw from women's basketball fans around Ohio. That's the hope. So I'm going to ask you this, because I know people are wondering, what can you tell us about the team name, colors, and branding? What are you allowed to share? What can you unfold? Anything?
First of all, I'm impressed this wasn't your first question, because this usually is the first question that I get.
I figured, you know.
I know. I love how excited people are about this. It will be Q1. I can share that we are in the middle of a very serious, very deep brand study where we are engaging our 7,000 IP holders, and as well as the general public around Northeast Ohio, to get their feedback of what do they want this team to mean to them. And I really applaud our teams here for not assuming we know best and for taking an incredible amount of time to listen to what Cleveland wants this team to represent and stand for, and how important those attributes are and how they want to connect with this team before we have a coach, before we have a player, before we start bouncing the basketball, before we have a brand identity, before we have a mascot, before, right? And so we really want to do our due diligence and make sure that we do it right. Because, you know, unfortunately, there's been, in both men's and women, there's been some real recent missteps. And it's really hard on the fans. And we want to make sure we do not come anywhere close to doing that. We want to, you know, hit a half-court shot from the draw.
Yes, I like that. I like that you're taking your time, and branding's so important. I think people often confuse the two, right? Marketing and branding, they're not the same thing. It's just people kind of get caught up in the wrong things. But curious to ask you, too, about this as far as the history going back to the Rockers. I'm sure, is that legacy somehow in their thought process, or is that its own thing and you're going for a whole refresh? Is there any consideration on those type of kind of legacy building or a throwback or even in apparel, anything like that?
10,000%. When we had the press conference last month, we were able to get 7 ex-Rockers players to fly in from around the country to be a part of that press announcement that we had with the commissioner. And I went to dinner with them the night before, and we just I didn't do any talking really, except for to thank them for spending some time with us and sharing their stories. But I just sat and listened to them all talk of what it was like and to reminisce and all of the good times. I mean, I think that that was a really important aspect for me to take away, was how much fun they had. They all look back on it with such fond memories. And the other thing I give them so much credit for is they are so excited for this next era of what the W is going to become. They are so excited that the spotlight is on so many of these tremendous athletes. And to see that once that spotlight has actually been turned on to these female athletes, how many tens of millions, of hundreds of millions of fans have poured into women's sports on a global basis. That has been really eye-opening, I think, that once you turn the spotlight on, the fans are coming out of the woodwork.
It's beautiful timing, and I'm super excited about that. I'm so happy, and I wasn't aware of that press conference, so super cool. I'm going to look that up and share it, because I think that's where your past and then the future and all of those things come together, and it makes it more of a credible experience for everyone, and you can see how the needle's moved. And I definitely am interested in your thought on this next question. As far as ownership and Rock Entertainment Group, you know, led by Dan Gilbert, are you feeling that Detroit's kind of going to be a sister city, or is it going to be a whole separate entity? I don't know. I love this already rivalry. We have I-75 between BGSU and University of Toledo, or Ohio State versus University of Michigan. Are we creating that same type of hype and vibe? Is that what it's going to be like, or what are you feeling?
I love that. So I'm actually from Michigan, and so the Detroit Pistons was my sure sports love. Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars and Bill Laimbeer, and it was I loved it. So Michigan holds a very, very special place in my heart, and I think we are going to be competitors with everybody. I mean, if you follow the NBA, you know, we pour every single resource into our Cleveland Cavaliers, and the same will be true for our W team. They will want for nothing. And so as long as somebody is going to pour the same resources into their players and give them the best and have them try to truly compete for a championship, I will take that competition all day long.
I love it, though, because I was thinking about it before I was getting ready to talk to you. And I said, you know, this is going to create a lot of interesting, you know, Ohio's an interesting city in Michigan, right? So, you know, I'm on the Ohio-Michigan line, and I went to University of Michigan also. So thank goodness you're a Michigan fan. But I really look at that, these opportunities come up where whether it's baseball, you're watching, you know, Cleveland versus Detroit or whatnot, you know, there are divided, a lot of fans here. There's households in Ohio that are Ohio State, and the other person's U of M and BG versus UT. I mean, so I'm thinking it's going to feel the same way for me. I love Detroit, but I also love Cleveland. So it'll be interesting for me to see what team resonates, or maybe they both will.
You know, I will say this. I give the WNBA a lot of credit. Especially the team presidents. Jess Smith became a very dear friend to me when I was at the Current. She was at Angel City. She's now the president of the Valkyries and is just absolutely destroying any other bar that was ever set by so many men or women's sport, right? I mean, first team, rookie year, making the playoffs, killing it on every level of sponsorships, ticketing, sellout crowds, merchandise is on fire. Like, she is just A-plus on every metric. And she is an open book. All she wants is for the rest of the W to be as successful as her. She wants me to sell our jersey opportunities, our jersey positions, for more than she did, because she knows that is going to raise the bar in the W. So that she and I are very kindred spirits, and I have felt that from the Fever, from the Spark, from even you know, my friend Melanie Harris, who's the president of Detroit Pistons. She and I have seen each other a couple of times post our announcement, because of course Detroit is going to come the year after us in 2029. And, you know, she kind of kiddingly said, I'm just going to take your playbook. And I'm like, Melanie, I will give it to you, because I know it'll make you successful, and that will make us better. Like, we don't get better if we're hanging around B and C students. If we're A plus, we only want to be around A plus. So we want everybody to be A plus.
I love that. And then what's the other team? Is it going to be in Philly? Is that the next one coming in?
And then Philly, yes, that's exactly right, 2030. And that's Josh Harris and his wife. They are, you know, they've got a lot going on. Philly will be a great city. Obviously, it's a huge sports town, and I expect that fan base to really wrap their arms around that team when, you know, the time that's right. They probably, I mean, I can't speak for any other team, obviously, but those other teams probably have, you know, another year or two before they have to start really getting feet on the ground. We quite frankly had to react to 3,000 people in 30 hours saying, I want a season ticket and I want more information. And so we really kind of fast forwarded and moved things up a bit and just reacting to the community. And that's what we will continue to do.
Well, I think it's amazing. And the circle seems to be getting smaller. It's interesting, even with like all the great work Dan Gilbert's done. I really commend him for, you know, now having, you know, Detroit and Cleveland. And then also the circles, Dawn Staley was in town last week for BGSU's tip-off party. And obviously she's from Philly. And all these little connections are starting to really click for me. And then in speaking with you, you're telling me about, you know, all of these people. It almost sounds like the WNBA, you guys are getting more sophisticated and groundbreaking sponsorships. You're taking the naming rights to the next level. You're all sharing and caring because you want it to be a movement, not just a moment. Am I right? Am I hearing you say that you're all helping each other because you know the importance of taking it to the highest degree?
That is 100% right. And, you know, sometimes, Sophia, it literally just starts with one right hire, right? And one thing, right? And I give the WNBA a lot of credit. They were able to capitalize 2 seasons ago on a couple of really prominent players coming into the league, and they did an amazing job of making sure people understood what great athletes these women are. And getting behind and sharing their stories, and then that's where you've just seen these people come out of the woodwork. I mean, I'm sure you read the stats. 57% of W fans are white men.
That's incredible.
I mean, it's you. So, like, you know, also just really resharing who is coming to these games, who are supporters. It is a lot of guys that are bringing their daughters. It's a lot of family. It's open to everybody, right? And so, you know, I just encourage you, you know, anybody that's listening, if you think you have, you know, the W pegged for one thing that maybe not doesn't sound as attractive to you as a fan, I implore you to go to a live game. And especially if you're in Northeast Ohio, come and meet me, right? Come and hear what I have to say live. Come and meet Tamsin. Come and meet KG. Come and meet, you know, I mean, there's 30 different people at Rock Entertainment Group from every single team that we have, from IT to marketing to business insights, that has wanted to lean in to really standing this W team up because the excitement is infectious.
Well, I like that a lot. And I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I just want to ask a couple rapid fire questions before we wrap up today. If you don't mind, I know you spent over a decade at the Lakers, so I'm going to ask you, who's your favorite Laker of all time?
Hands down, Kobe.
Yes.
I had incredible experiences with him. I got him at the tail end of his career because I joined in 2011-2012 season. But Robert Horry is a very good, close personal friend of mine, whom I still talk with. He's obviously a Laker legend. And then I do have to put in a quick plug for Lonzo Ball and Larry Nance Jr. I was at the Lakers when they were there, got to know them, and just resaw them at an event that we had last week. And so happy to have them back in Cleveland. Just two upstanding young men that are great for our city and great for our team.
Sweet. All right, next question. Now that you're settled into Cleveland a little bit, do you have a favorite restaurant, a local hangout, or some hidden gem that you'd recommend that I visit when I come to see you?
Absolutely. Number one, you have to go to Westside Market. It is going through a tremendous renovation. There's so much history there, and that is going to be a huge part of us developing and really rebuilding the city. So that is awesome. And then I am a coffee snob. My husband has turned me into a pour-over-only coffee drinker. So there is Good Kind in Lakewood that is amazing. And then Phoenix coffee in, I think it's Ohio City. It's right by St. Ignatius, the all-boys Catholic high school. And then the last thing, if you get through all that, you go to Juneberry, also in Ohio City, for breakfast and lunch. And then for a drink and some good dinner, go to Bartleby, which is a totally redesigned, formerly an old bank, right in the heart of downtown. And it is absolutely gorgeous.
And how about the soundtrack of your life? If you had to dial it down to a particular, maybe one song or a couple songs, what's your hype song?
I don't have one. This is the worst rapid fire question you could ask me because everybody is good at it. I try to think about this because I've been asked about this. I am all over the board. I mean, I like Dave Matthews Band to, Weekend to, new music that pops up from Taylor Swift, right? I'm kind of also a podcast girl. So like, if I got to get going, I'm probably not putting NPR on, for 5 minutes, but I'll put on, like my random Spotify mix and something will get me going.
Sure. So you're pretty eclectic. You get some options there.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then a couple more here but before we wrap up. So inspiring the next generation for our audience that's listening. And you have a young lady or a young man or at any age rather, say you want to switch into a different career, you could, be saying that, I've always loved sports, I want to do sports now. What advice would you give to anyone that wants to either transition or start off in sports and leadership? How do they get into it?
Interesting questions, because literally this morning an 8:30 call was with somebody, a woman who's mid-40s and want to get into sports, has been a successful CEO at a organization and is thinking about transitioning. You got to make some connections at a team. And that's it. If you're a younger person, maybe you're in college, you're ending, you're maybe in your senior year, junior, senior year, whatever, start to network. Start to reach out to people that you admire, brands you admire. Get connected through your university with different teams that are around. Just blindly reaching out, honestly, on LinkedIn, trying to find emails, and have conversations. And ask people for their connections. But you have to put the work in. You have to network on your own. This stuff is not going to come to you. Getting a job in sports is very challenging. Very challenging. There is, when we post some job openings, there is hundreds of resumes that come within the first 24 hours, right? So you got to do something to stand out. Volunteer. Show up, if you're interested in us, show up at one of my events where I'm talking about the W, even if you're interested in working for the Monster or the Cab. Come and just get to know who I am. Listen to something that I said and follow up with me.
I like it. I like that advice. And my final question for you today is, do you have a personal pinch me moment? Something that really was something that just stopped you in your tracks and you said to yourself, I can't believe this is my job.
There's quite a few. I do want to share two with you. One was Kobe's last game in 2016, where he scored 60 points. And I was fortunate enough to sit in row two and watched the entire game and just watched. It was magic. It was magic. That was super, super special, and then bringing it around here this year. The resources that we pour into our partners and our clients is a pinch me moment. Right? We are going to the U.S. Open. We're going to the Masters. We take these just incredible trips to show our appreciation for people. And that is not something that is common. And it is something I will hopefully never get used to because it is so special.
Well, you've had just quite an amazing career. Honestly, it's been a pleasure to have you on our show today, and I wish you the most success and your continued all this cool stuff happening in Cleveland, especially with the WNBA, and I'm definitely pleased. I'm coming to see you. I like to have lunch, go to these cool coffee shops, and just to enjoy Cleveland. And I can't thank you enough for your time. And Allison Howard, you got game. Special thanks again to Allison Howard, Chief Commercial Officer for the Rock Entertainment Group and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and one of the visionary leaders helping shape the future of the WNBA in Cleveland. If you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to subscribe to Women Got Game wherever you get your podcasts. And follow me for more stories celebrating women who lead, inspire, and win in every arena. Thanks for listening, and remember, women don't just play the game, we change it. Special thanks to my executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer, and I'm your host and producer, Sophia Fisher. Please visit us at wgte.org/womengotgame.
WGTE. Voices around us.